and Lynn is here. They're ready to go. I'm going to play first a track from their new EP, What Love's Meant to Be. The name of the song is The Scene, and then we'll be back from that. We'll chat with them, and we'll listen to some live stuff. You're listening to Ann Lynn on Is Good on killradio.org. Listening to Is Good on killradio.org, and my guest is Ann Lynn, and they're big fans of the long sustain at the end of the song, which I love. So let's start with introductions. Who am I looking at?
My name is Josh Poole.
What do you play, man?
I don't know what I play. I play guitar and sing, pretty much.
My name is Matt, and I play drums and some percussion, maybe some keys. Very minimal amount of keys.
My name is Tim. I play bass.
And my name is Steve, and I play guitar.
Cool. And you guys like spending hours in traffic and then looking for parking and then playing like right after that? Is that fun?
That's why we do this.
That's why you do it. That's what it's all about. You guys came all the way down from Big Bear today, right?
Not today. Well, I came down from Big Bear yesterday. I'm the last one that lives in Big Bear. My brother lives in L.A. now.
Yeah, we're kind of currently...
Oh, so you're sort of gradually moving to the L.A. area?
Making our way down, so...
And is that because of the music?
Yeah, I think that's a big part of it. It's just a lot more convenient to all be in this area, so...
Yeah.
Well, cool. You want to jump into a live song, and then we'll talk about the whole process and what Ann Lynn is and all that good stuff.
Alrighty.
What are you going to play for us first?
This song's called Bocelli. This one goes out to all the Reading folk.
Right on. You're listening to Ann Lynn on Is Good, killradio.org.
1, 2, 3.
You remember that year when the weather weather is never that clear. In the front walk, popular spot, we'd sit and laugh and smoke and talk. Well, do you remember? Distinctly know that smell, the candle wax aroma all too well. Wait for night to finally come. The boredom is what I miss the most. Remember. Taking the on-ramp to the fire, the stereo sang themes for every time. We'd lay on the grass with empty minds, and the smoke was filling up my eyes. What happened to those times? Smoke with me before you go to school. Things always change. Go your own way.
Thank you, Ann Lynn, for coming in, sharing your music with us. First of all, so you guys are brothers, right? Josh and Matt?
Yes, we are.
We are.
And why is it that instead of killing each other, you guys decided to be in a band together?
That's a good question.
Go for it.
We have almost killed each other, actually, a few times.
Well, because, yeah, I mean, like, bands, even when they're not related, there's a lot of tension, a lot of conflict in making art. But you guys, as brothers, is that a bonus or is that an extra challenge?
I would say it's a bonus.
We've kind of grown up playing music together ever since we were little and, like, learned to play drums together and, you know, a lot of stuff, played punk bands and stuff like that. And so it's something we've always done. We've always connected. I pretty much can't play without him playing drums. If I play with another drummer, I just get pissed off. But that's pretty much how it is.
So you guys have sort of a telepathic thing going on?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I would say so. We can jam out pretty long together and have fun. So
why did one of you end up singing and playing guitar and the other one doing drums? Like, how did you come to your instruments?
I don't know. I'm a better drummer than you. I'm just kidding. He's a better singer than me by far.
That just kind of happened, I guess. Over, like, when we were little, we played in a punk band and he just jumped on drums and I jumped on bass because that's what was left over. And then, you know, I started writing songs. It's just our nature, you know.
So at the very beginning, before you guys were Ann Lynn, was just the two of you jamming out, coming up with songs together? Or did you have a band that was the brothers' band?
No, Ann Lynn was just Josh at first.
Yeah.
It was all you.
Yeah, when I lived up in Reading, just kind of started writing songs, and Ann Lynn was my title for my music instead of just my name, because it just has meaning. But And then, you know, I was recording with a friend, Scott Harvey, in his room. And Matt, you know, he's my brother, and he's like my drummer. So he played on a bunch of the tracks, and we didn't do anything for a couple of years because I got married and had kids. And you know, we kind of grew up a little bit and then decided to resurrect Ann Lane.
And how did the other members get involved?
Steve and I were going to college in Reading. Josh came up to go to college in Reading. Met Josh. Started smoking cigarettes on a dam. We all liked music. And then we moved back down here, and I moved down to Long Beach. And I knew these guys pretty well, and they were playing. Their bass player got married and moved. So said, I'd like to play. Steve, his bands were kind of going different directions, so he jumped on board as well, and we just started going.
Yeah. Steve, is that true?
Yeah, it is. no, I've known the Poole Brothers for a while. We met up in Reading, and we were good friends up there, but it wasn't until all of us got back down here in Southern California that we really got together. They were playing for about a year before I joined up with them, and just to add a little bit of different sound to it, so...
Well, actually, that was going to be my next question, is like sort of when you met the Poole Brothers, did they already have sort of an established Ann Lane sound, or is it now more of a collaborative process?
No, I think they had the sound kind of established, and even with Tim, even though the bass parts were written a lot of it beforehand, Tim's brought a lot of different style to it, just the way he plays. And I don't think we really changed the sound a lot. I think we just kind of added a different atmosphere, you know, to the music, so...
So you guys just picked up this thing called the SoCal Music Awards Best Indie Band.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I guess not as much as we thought it did.
Really?
We first went to the Inlet. A guy I know, you know, said to submit to it, and we submitted to it like last minute. And I guess since we all live in different areas, we applied to Inland Empire, Orange County, and Southern California. And so we made a huge deal out of the Inland Empire Music Awards and invited, like, everyone we know. And we were kind of, no offense to it, it was really, you know, charming and, like, flattering to get those awards. And we got Best Song and Best Indie, but I guess it didn't really do anything for us. we're totally excited about it, you know. We're, you know, flattered, I guess. And then we did Best Indie for Southern California and Orange County Music Awards. And it was fun going to award shows and stuff.
It was some really cool recognition because there were... a few people would come along and be like, oh yeah, I heard you won this award. So that's kind of how I came across your website or MySpace web page and all that. So it definitely kind of got our name out there a little bit more than we could have done on our own at the time, I think.
And I'm not like complaining about it. It was like, we're totally stoked.
But like, where do you guys
would give us an award, you know?
Where do you guys feel that you are as a band? Are you in that position where you know, you're finally set with the group that you want to be with and you're trying to get recognition, or are you a step above that? I mean, you guys just released this EP. Are you working on a full length? Are you trying to find a label? Like, where do you guys see yourselves on the totem pole of band success?
We've just kind of had this whole conversation, and we're absolutely shopping for a label right now. So, I mean, that's kind of...
I think you put an echo effect on the mixer there. That'd be shopping nice. For a label.
Yeah. But, we're real comfortable with the setup, the four of us, and I was going to say earlier, I think Josh and I mean, having played these songs together for as long as we have, are kind of trying to let go of some of the control, I guess, and just let this be a four-piece project so everybody can bring their own things in. And I think we've been doing pretty well at doing that lately. It's been really paying off, and it's been a lot of fun, so.
Yeah.
Are all four of you on this EP?
No, we actually recorded that when we started playing again like a year and a half ago. A friend of ours, Paul Chapman, that lived in Big Bear, who's an awesome guy, plays bass left-handed.
Hi, Paul.
So we turned one of our basses upside down, and he played that. And
wow.
And so that was Ann Lynn, for the most part, just a three-piece, which was awesome. And he recorded that with us and did a really good job. And then he moved to Arizona and to get married and just, you know, get on with his life. So then
I'm detecting a theme here, though.
What?
Marriage equals death to music.
Yeah. Well, that's funny because
we're trying to fight that right now, you know.
That's like our whole deal. Things are really hard for us because we all work full time. I'm supporting a family, and we're always, I guess, complaining about it to people. But
so it's hard to keep Atlanta
not
priority.
As easy to
it wouldn't be possible
it.
Without the support that our wives, all four collectively, have shown. It's really been amazing and beautiful. So
scoring points with the wives.
Yeah, you know.
Nice shout out.
Matt, you have four wives? That's
I do have four wives.
Why don't we play another track from the EP? You just finished it, right? You just released it recently.
No, we released that in January.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Well, it's just not that popular.
Oh, no. I could have sworn I saw a bulletin not too long ago. Maybe you're just promoting it.
Yeah, I'm the annoying promoter on MySpace.
Oh, that's important. So it's called What Love's Meant to Be. And is that... I noticed that's also the name of one of your songs, but does that have a larger meaning as well?
Yeah, I wrote that song for my daughter and decided to name the album that. It kind of has like a universal meaning with like our band just being like family oriented. Mm-hmm. Not sure exactly what that means, but it's kind of powerful. Like it's just passionate, and that's what we want the CD to be, is just like almost like grown up a little bit, and you know what I mean? And music. I don't know.
Do you guys, because you all look young, 20-something. Do you feel like a young band, or do you feel like, since you all have families, you're all married, do you feel more like you guys are adults and maybe, I don't know, is it a challenge sort of getting treated like adults instead of, you know, just the regular Silver Lake crowd kind of?
We've all been playing music for a while, and I think we've all felt a lot younger before. Just so many different elements of freedom that we had at times, but.
But do people treat you like you're a young guy's band, or do they give you the kind of respect that you think should come with older performers?
Kind of a little bit of both.
Yeah.
People are usually surprised when they find out I have kids and I'm married. But, you know, a lot, just almost because of the style of our music, like it's not really like exactly like hipster music right now. So it's almost like we get treated a little different. I don't really know exactly how, but
no, that makes sense.
I can sense the treatment. So
yeah, and you can hear it in the music. Why don't we play another track from the EP? Let's see. Let's do Gnarl Carl.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Sounds good.
I like the song.
Me too.
I wrote it. All right, cool. So you're listening to Ann Lynn on Is Good on killradio.org, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Let
All right, this is crazy. If you were listening to the show earlier before Ann Lynn got here, I was playing a bunch of things, and one of the things I played was one of my favorite, probably my favorite Peter Gabriel song, Mercy Street, and I've just now been informed that that's what we're going to hear next. Is that actually true? You're not just screwing with me?
That is true, yeah.
All right. While I digest the amazing coincidence that is that, I mean, look, I have my wallet of CDs here. I have about 400 CDs in here. And I played, I don't know, about 12 songs for you guys came in. And one of them is what you're about to play. So I'm anxious to hear this cover. So I'm going to ask you about your influences and all that other stuff later. Let's jump right into a live song. You guys ready?
Let's do it, yeah.
Ready. All right. This is Ann Lynn on Is Good on killradio.org.
Looking down on empty streets, all she can see are the dreams all made solid, the dreams made real, and all of the buildings and all of the cars were once just a dream in somebody's head. She pictures the broken glass, pictures the steam. She pictures a world with no leak at the seam. Take the boat out, wait until darkness. Let's take the boat out, wait until darkness. Secret things in a worn velvet box to the priest. He's the doctor, he can handle the shocks. Dreaming of the tenderness, the tremble in the hips, and the kissing Mary's lips. You're looking for mercy. Looking for mercy. dreaming of mercy, dreaming of mercy.
That was too good. I'm gonna have to ask you to leave. I'm sorry. Wow. Okay, all right. Let me see how to organize my thoughts after that. I'm just still reeling for the fact that I played that song when you got here.
It's meant to be.
Well, let me ask you first, Matt. Why? What was it that you were just playing? First of all.
That was a dulcimer, right, Steve?
Yeah, it's a hammer dulcimer.
Yeah, a hammer dulcimer. I think all collectively as a band, we've wanted one for a while, and I've never played one until yesterday.
Oh, wow.
That's why I wasn't really doing much on it, but it's Steve's uncle's. So thanks, Steve.
Yeah, we went and borrowed that from him.
What's your uncle's name?
Kevin.
Thanks, Uncle Kevin, for the hammer dulcimer.
Is that a part of the Enlin sound, sort of using alternative instruments and not just the traditional guitar, bass, drum sound of a lot of indie bands? Anybody can answer.
Yeah, as much as possible, I think we'd like to incorporate as much as we might be able to, into everything, I guess. And it's kind of fun to switch around and try and play different stuff. And it's just a matter of doing it good, I guess, and somewhat in a timely manner.
What do you guys think about that a lot? Like, how are you going to inject certain flavors into Enlin to make it recognizable as Enlin? Like, identify yourselves as being different from the other indie rock bands out there?
We hope to be different, I guess.
But like, what are some of the things that you think you do that is different?
That's hard these days. Everybody's
I think
different.
This band as a whole was different. Like, from our perspective, at least me speaking personally for myself and maybe for Steve, but I was more a fan of watching my friends play this music beforehand. Like, we would try to hit up every show just to watch these guys do it, to support it, because like you were asking earlier about like what kind of people follow this and stuff, and as Josh said, it's not a lot of like deep in the scene kind of kids. It's people who really respect good songwriting, and I think that I can say that even though I'm in the band, because Josh writes the songs, and I mean that's what the reason that I supported it and was excited to be a part of it is because they are good songs, and it's a musical genre that seems like it sticks outside of other genres, and I think that random, you know, stuff like a dulcimer and the banjo and whatnot, that kind of stuff just pops itself out naturally because this band kind of exists in a different spot than, you know, trying to make a friendly song for the radio. They're trying to write the best song that can possibly be written.
Let's talk a little bit about that last song that you just played. Josh, tell me why do you think you connect with Peter Gabriel in that song?
That song, like, is like my childhood. I remember, you know, since I can remember, as young as I was, just listening to that song with my dad. I remember driving in the car and him just turning it up really loud. And it's just so powerful. Like, Peter Gabriel is just, you know, he was my, you know, I liked him when I was younger, and then he became my favorite artist again because I just pulled the tape back out of the glove box. And it just, his songwriting is just really just like dreamy, you know what I mean? And it's just, it doesn't get more powerful than that to me. Just to write such passionate music that just like rips your heart out, and that song, I know he wrote it for some poet named Anne something, and I never really knew that, but just the words, just singing about like mercy in general, it's just powerful to me, and I can incorporate like my own, what's going on in my life, and you know, my beliefs and even my faith, like into singing that song just because of what the words say. And so I guess it's just growing, like, it's really nostalgic. It's like watching a movie and, like, black and white flashes of someone growing up, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, that's kind of how it feels to me.
What, Peter Gabriel aside, what are some of the other influences? Like, when you sit down to write a song, do you feel other artists kind of coming through you?
Definitely. Growing up, I've had, like, different idols. Elliott Smith is, like, a huge influence, and I know that's, you know, a lot of people say that, but it's just, he's just amazing, you know? And so in my songwriting, I kind of look up to the way he wrote songs. It's just talent. Like, you can't pass up that kind of talent. You can't bypass it, you know? And whatever that means. Like, old Death Cab for Cutie just has a huge place in my heart. Ben Gibbard and his songwriting. Mostly old stuff. I really respect the new stuff, but the old stuff's what's really influenced me a lot. Like, when indie rock started, you know, coming up above ground and more people my age started getting into it, that's what really caught my attention. And then, you know, a lot of just rock and roll, like Paul McCartney is our favorite Beatle, and his songwriting's good, and Tom Petty's a huge one. So a lot of, like, acoustic rock type stuff.
You mentioned old Death Cab for Cutie as opposed to new Death Cab for Cutie. And right now, they're a great, very talented band. Yeah. They're getting a lot of attention. But their music has definitely changed, because I've been listening to their music for a while, too. How do you think it's changed and why? Because it seems like it's some... I don't know. I can't put my finger on it, but it seems like it's something that happens to a lot of bands like that. Once they get the attention, there's some quality that changes in their music. What do you think that is?
I like to think that they just kind of... You know, I mean, if you read their interviews, from what I've heard, they kind of say about the change, like, it's just something that happens with every band. Like, they just progress through time and progress in their songwriting, and things change because, you know, that's just what happens over time. And I think, like, I don't want to say they sold out, because I think they're pretty smart with what they're doing, you know. So a lot of times we can write off a band for selling out, and we'll get all upset about it and, you know, jealous and annoyed that other people are getting all into them and that they've got all these millions of fans and we were first, you know.
Right.
But so we always kind of do that. But
do you think
I
about
think we're
that?
Growing up in that whole ideal and realizing that they're just made a smart decision. Like, if I picture them, like, yeah, we would do that. You know, they did
it. That's what I was going to ask. Is that something you're going to resist or something you're just going to change?
No, I think that's what they were shooting for. They said, we want to play music for a living, and this is how we're going to do it. And from what I've heard, they were real smart. They did a lot of things on their own and waited for the right label to come along. What do you think, Tim?
I agree.
Okay.
I think that is a natural band progression. People try to put bands in a little jar and preserve them forever, and that just doesn't work. I mean... Anyone who's ever played an instrument before for any period of time knows that they want to grow and they want to move forward and they want to try different things. And it seems like that was more respected in the past, you know, with people like Neil Young, and who just went all over the musical gamut. But nowadays it's all about capturing that little 5-minute wonder and then bashing on the band for changing.
Have you guys gone through a growing period over the past? You know, how long have you been together as Ann Lynn, the four of you?
This group of four. Since January. Steve came in January and I came maybe October or something.
So you really haven't been put to that test yet?
Yeah, huh? No.
No, I wouldn't say so. Yeah.
But do you think that's something that you kind of resist? Like, we want to make sure we hang on to the Ann Lynn sound, or you're just going to go with the flow and see what happens?
Wait, say that again?
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, like, are you trying to stick to a clear Ann Lynn sound and resist all the outside forces changing you, or are you open to change and growing as a band?
That's, like, hard to answer, because I'm always kind of trying to figure that out myself. I think there's a sound. I think a huge part of our music is that we have kind of naturally stuck to a sound, and something I always think about, like, we don't get as much attention. I'm not, like, pouting about it or anything, but because we kind of stuck to a sound that was popular a while ago. Like, I this isn't trying to, like, brag or anything, but I do believe I have somewhat of my own sound in songwriting, and we do as a band. But I think, like, a lot of bands just change with what's cool, and it has to change because people get bored, or people just strive so hard to make themselves original that they find something new. And so now, you know, it's like rock and roll again, which is awesome, I think, but we just kind of haven't really you know, I mean, we like rock and roll and we like playing it, but we haven't really followed the scene too much, I guess. And
so you haven't figured out a way to work a white boy rap solo into any of your songs?
No. But at the same time, you know, what was I going to say? At the same time, it kind of just happens. And, like, you start getting interested in different stuff. We like to think that we can just play whatever kind of music we want. Our own sounds will always come out and our big influences, but we're always talking about and trying to just, let's do this, like, Peter Gabriel-sounding song, and then let's do, like, this Tom Petty-sounding song. And they're just totally different, you know? But we love them both, and hopefully we don't get stuck in one genre, you know?